This is another edition of the More Abundant Life radio broadcast. I'm so happy that you've joined us today. My name is Adrian Westney Jr. I'm your host for the More Abundant Life. This program features inspiring messages and presentations by Pastor Wentley Phipps. I do hope that you'll stay tuned today. Pastor Phipps has prepared a message of hope, a message of encouragement, and I'm sure it's going to be a blessing to you. We're going to talk about that message and the title of that message a little bit later in our program, but just now I'd like you to enjoy some music. Here's music by Wentley Phipps.
Placed a dream within your heart, and if you make a start, He wants for you to know. All of your needs He will supply, He's always standing by. He's there to see you through. So keep on climbing until you reach your goal. Just keep on striving with all your heart and soul. All things are possible with God. So don't give in. He'll move your mountains. He believes in your dreams. And when the road ahead seems long, with faith you can be strong. There to show the way. With every step you know what's right, you'll conquer in His mind. He'll bring that brighter day. You just keep on climbing.
You are listening to the More Abundant Life radio broadcast. We just heard a song entitled Keep On Climbing by Wintley Phipps. Well, our message is about to begin. I do hope that you will stay tuned because at the end of the message, I'll have an announcement and some information for you on how you may obtain an audio copy of this message. But just now, let's join Pastor Phipps and the Seabrook Church as the message has already begun.
Today, my message is entitled, You Can Begin Again. You can begin again. If you have your Bibles with you, I want you to turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 5. And I want to begin reading in your hearing verse 1. The book of Luke, chapter 5, verse 1. The Bible says, And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesareth and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, Launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. When they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men, fishes of men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. You can begin again. This day, standing beside the Lake of Galilee were seven of the disciples of Jesus. They were dressed in the humble garb of fishermen. They were poor in worldly goods, but rich in the knowledge of the truth. You see, they had been students in the school of Jesus. They had been taught by the one the servant of the Lord calls the greatest educator the world has ever known. Under his instruction, they had become elevated, intelligent, refined. Agents through whom men might be led to a knowledge of the truth. Even though Jesus had made them into teachers and scholars, they could never forget that they were fishermen. You see, no matter how high you rise, there are some jobs that you have done, some jobs you have held that you will never forget. And you won't forget how to do them either. Brothers and sisters, fishing in that time, as it is now, was tedious business. When you make a living as a fisherman, you cannot forget that it's always possible that you won't have a sufficient catch to make a living for you or your family. When I see people out on the ocean fishing, I'm reminded that fishing is an act of faith. Your fortunes are not in your hands, but in the hands of the fish, whether or not they want to bite or not. Your fortunes are in the hands of the weather. Fishing is also very repetitious. It requires a lot of patience, and there are always unknowns when you go out on the sea. It can be dangerous out there. It's always possible that an unexpected storm can turn up out on the sea when you least expect it. Fishing at night is particularly dangerous. You see, storms by day can test your skill as a sailor, but storms by night will test your faith. One ship's captain and his crew who had survived a terrible storm, the captain said to his wife the next day, "That storm was so terrible, God heard from many strangers that night." That particular night, the disciples hadn't caught anything. And here it was, morning. Nothing to show for a night's work. They're sitting on the shore, washing down their nets, weary, probably a little discouraged. You would be too if you worked all night long and showed up for your check and there was nothing to be had. The crowd began to press in more closely to hear Jesus present the word of God. Jesus got into Peter's boat, asked the fishermen to take the boat out a little way from the shore. And the scriptures tell us when he had reached just the right spot, Jesus began teaching the crowds from that boat that he had turned into a floating pulpit. When he had finished speaking to the crowd, Jesus said to Peter, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." For a catch. Peter, that big, burly, impetuous fisherman who always had the wrong thing to say. You know, some people always have the right thing to say. Peter always had the wrong thing to say. He had been all out there all night fishing, and he looks at Jesus with this quizzical gaze. His countenance cannot hide his obvious look of incredulity. "Excuse me?"
"Yes, sir."
Brothers and sisters, Peter was an experienced fisherman who had been fishing for years and years. He was a fisherman of considerable experience. Casting nets and catching fish was second nature to Peter. He was well aware that this time of day, near midday, when the sun is up, is not the best time to catch fish. If you ever see someone out in the heat of the day fishing, you know that's not a fisherman. He knew that all of the fish in the Sea of Galilee were probably taking a nap in the middle of the day. He knew that this was not the time to go fishing. So imagine Peter's surprise. Jesus is saying to him, "Go back to the water and fish again."
All right. Yes, sir.
"Go back and fish some more." Peter stops for a minute. He's saying to himself, now, nighttime is the best time. Is the best time to be fishing. Daytime is not the best time. The sea has been exceedingly stingy, even in the night. It's going to be worse in the day. What makes Jesus think that the day will bring us any more success? Peter, take your boat out into the deep waters and cast down your net. You can imagine what was going on in Peter's mind. And you know, he's trying to be polite. Amen. But Peter must have been saying to himself, now, as a fisherman, I have skill and expertise and experience. Jesus is a carpenter turned preacher.
That's right.
I'm the fisherman. Now, what does he know about fishing? Now, he's saying this to himself. He dare not say it aloud. Now let me get this straight. Jesus, you want me to do what?
Mercy.
Jesus, I'm a fisherman. You're a preacher. Tell me again. You want me to do what? I'm going to look like a fool going out there in the middle of the day with a net. Wait a minute, said Peter to himself. Now, Jesus is a wise and reasonable man. If I explain to him, if I make it clear this situation, he'll understand. Peter said, "Master, we've worked all night. Let me explain this to you, Lord. We've worked all night and we caught nothing. It's now The sun is up. It's in the middle of the day. I don't want to sound condescending, Jesus, but the fish, they sleep this time of day. Let me put it a little differently, Master. The fish, they're just not available right now. Master, they're usually accessible, but not right now. Master, we are certified, bona fide, licensed fishermen. We've worked diligently all night long, but we caught nothing. Master, there's got to be a good reason that our nets are empty, don't you think? Master, there's a reason that in spite of our arduous, exhausting efforts that our nets are still empty. There's a reason that our hands show only blisters for our hard work. Peter looked at Jesus and he could not shake the compelling conviction that his master had never been wrong. Can you imagine working for somebody that you know had never been wrong in anything? His judgment was never flawed, no matter the discipline or the career. In agriculture, he was always right. When it came to medicine, amen. It's the reason people came from far and wide, because they had confidence that he was always right. If Jesus said at midday, throw out your net, Peter knew he must not second guess his master. He had never been wrong. Peter had heard this prophet from Nazareth say things like, love your enemies, do good to them that curse you. He'd never been wrong now. He'd heard him proclaim the truths of the new kingdom, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. He knew his master had never been wrong. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. He knew that his master had never been wrong, and he was ready in his heart to follow the directives of his Lord, even when they didn't make sense. So Peter said, Master, we have worked all night long and caught nothing. But if you say so, if you say so, nevertheless, we'll go out there. We'll let down our nets. And so the Bible says they let down their net and they caught so many fish that the nets began to break. And they signaled their partners in the other boats to come and help them. They came, filled up both boats. That boat began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus, saying, go away from me, Lord. That's, we have the same kind of expression, but it's a little different. In the community, we say, I'm scared of you.
That's right.
That's what Peter was saying. Oh, Lord, I'm scared of you.
Yes, sir.
Look at this. It means you're a bad dude, man. I'm awed by you. Sometimes God's power is so poured out in your life that you say, Lord, I know I do it. Lord, I'm scared of you. I'm awed by your power. How do you do this? How do you bless this way? How did you know what I needed? And then Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you will be fishers of men. From this day forward, I'll make you fishers of men. Brothers and sisters, we as a people, I came to tell you today, no matter where you are in your life, no matter what you're going through in your life, we as a people can be much more successful than we are if we will only follow more closely the exact directions Jesus gives for your life.
Amen.
And you will find it in his word.
Yes, sir.
And you will find it if you will listen. If you will only listen, you will hear the whisperings of Jesus in your heart saying, this is the way. Turn right here. Turn left here. Don't marry him.
Yes.
Don't do that. Yes. You will make a mistake.
Amen.
God finds great joy in helping his children succeed. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Psalm 35:27. Thank you, Lord, for his holy word today. My message today, you can begin again. Psalm 35:27. I'm telling you, you serve a God who finds great joy in helping his children to succeed. Verse 27 of chapter 35, God's word says there, let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which has what?
Pleasure
in the prosperity of his servants. Servant Lord says that if God's blessings rest upon you because you surrender all to him, you will prosper.
Amen.
No matter how tough it is for you, I came here, led of God, to tell you, you can begin again. Amen. You can get a new start. You can go out and cast your net again, and it will come up full.
Amen.
And all through the scriptures, listen to what the servant of God says. Leave something for your children. Remember that even the wealth of the sinners, God has set aside for the righteous.
Amen.
Did you know that? Did you know that God, sure you can begin again. And wherever God's people in any period of the world, listen carefully, have cheerfully and willingly carried out his plan in systematic benevolence. In other words, when you give faithfully, sacrificially of your tithes and offerings, she says, wherever God's people have done this, they have realized the standing promise.
Amen.
Did you know that prosperity, when you are faithful to God's directions, is a standing promise?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Did you know that God limits his blessings to those who limit their offerings to him? Did you know when you hold back on God, you're only holding back on yourself? Because you are limiting. God limits what he gives. And by the way, before, I've got to make this point. God nowhere in the scriptures has said, I wish that you would be a failure and unemployed. If there's anybody here who thinks that there is something righteous about being broke, are you with me today?
Amen.
If you think there's, if you think it's a badge of righteousness to be broke, find it for me where God says, I wish for you unemployment and failure. Everything I read, the Bible I read, God says, 3 John 1:2, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. If God says that it is his will for you to work, you got to know there's a job waiting for you out there. And you can begin again if you're unemployed. Amen. Now, it may not be the kind of job you like at first. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
It may be the kind of job that builds character.
Amen. Yes, that's right.
Sometimes God will give you the kind of job that builds character.
Amen.
And Pastor Henderson and I have been to some character-building churches.
Yes, sir. Oh, yeah.
Amen. If I told you some of the kinds of jobs I've had in my life, you wouldn't believe me. I've sold magazines door to door. I've sold encyclopedias door to door. Now I grew up in the 60s in Canada, very innocent place. I even sold clothes and dresses door to door. And people would actually go in their houses with me in their houses, try them on and pay me for them. Don't do that today. It's a different day and a different time.
Right.
One of the hardest jobs I've ever had in my life. I can still see myself at 10 o'clock at night throwing 50-pound bags of grain about. I know you cannot imagine that. You think I was born here in a suit singing everywhere. But God gave me that kind of work to build my character. So that now, no matter how hard I work, you will never hear me complain. Amen.
Amen.
Like that old preacher who was asked one day, all that traveling, don't you get tired? He said, oh, yeah, I get tired. He said, but you know what? It's still better than picking cotton. Sometimes God will give you character building work, and it'll be so hard that when you get up, you will never complain about some other job that you have. If you find your highest joy in communion with God and surrender to His will, He has promised He'll give you the desires of your heart. Amen. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. Brothers and sisters, God invites you to share with Him your desires. Until now, He said, you haven't asked anything in my name, but ask it. Servant Lord says that God will accept those who are determined to aim high. Remember, you will never reach a higher standard than the one you've set for yourself. You're not going to reach any higher goal than the goal you've set for your own life. No matter how many times you've been knocked down, I came by here to tell you today, you can begin again. You can throw your net out. Press with determination, says the servant of the Lord, in the right direction. And listen to this, circumstances will be your helper and not your hindrance. Woo. Did you know that when you're coming up empty, somebody's coming up empty. Somebody said, Pastor, my bank account is empty. You coming up empty. Things are difficult and things are hard. But I came here to tell you that the servant of God says, when you press with determination in the right direction, circumstances will become your helper and not your hindrance. Woo! There are before us possibilities which your feeble faith does not discern. Don't wait for an opening. Make one. Don't wait for a job. Make one. Make some for others. And you'll be blessed yourself. Jesus stands on the shore of your life directing. And I just came to ask you, do you hear Him today? Do you hear the Lord whispering to you? I meant for you to be in a better place than you are right now. Go back, throw out your net, and I, the Lord, will fill up your net. I'll fill it up.
Well, that concludes our message for today. The message entitled You Can Begin Again is message number 221 in our series. And if you would like to obtain an audio copy of this message, please call the Seabrook Church at 301-577-6342. The phone number again, 301-577-6342. Remember to ask for program number 221. Well, until next time, my name is Adrian Westney Jr. That's about all the time we have for our program today. I want to wish you God's richest blessings, however. Join us again, though, for another program. But until then, remember the words written in John chapter 10, verse 10, where Jesus said, I came that you might have life, and that life might be the more abundant life.